Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Mike Side, a father of five, raising my children out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during a time where family, faith, and freedom are coming apart at the seams. And the culture itself is pretty messed up, at least when it comes to its epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, the way it educates its children, the way it establishes its institutions, the way it establishes identity, values, self-perception. Other than that, the culture is doing just fine. That's right, folks, just fine. Well, the problem is when our children are caught up in the system, they get the wrong worldview, the wrong perception of, well, pretty much everything around them. They have a hard time understanding themselves and living their lives out with the right values and developing the right self-perception. I like the word self-perception better than the word self-esteem, because we don't have a problem with too low of a self-esteem. Our problem is we have the wrong self-esteem. We have the wrong self-perception because we have the wrong faith. We have the wrong basic worldview. Well, folks, and this certainly affects a lot of women, a lot of young women, a lot of girls. Millions of young women are caught up with trying to look like fashion models, movie stars, the hottest new pop singer. In the process, they're plagued with insecurity, eating disorders, sexual promiscuity, etc. It's, you know, the standards of the day. Yeah, pretty much what the world sets as the standards for life. They expect you to live with these kind of issues because they have all the wrong values, all the wrong self-perceptions, and in the process, of course, a lot of lives are ruined. Well, I went online and I asked the question on Yahoo, should Christian women model in bikinis, and found Yahoo Answers on this particular one. And some of the responses were interesting, illustrating, I think, a great deal of confusion out there. Should Christian women model in bikinis? We've asked the question before in relation to Carrie Pigeon and her antics on the big stage. But again, here are some of the answers. Just because a woman is Christian doesn't mean she shouldn't be able to show off her body and generally enjoy life. Okay, that's one response to the question, should Christian women model in bikinis? Here's another one. I'm a Christian girl. I've done bikini modeling before. Adriana Lima, a strong Catholic, is a famous Victoria's Secret model. The point is, so what if you're posing for a picture? So if you're still following your belief, there's nothing wrong with it. Adriana Lima is a very well-known virgin. Here's another guy, Earl, that wades in on this Yahoo Answer page. She is encouraging men to lust after her. Does that count? 1 Timothy 2:9-10 says women should be modest. Use your own judgment. Here's another one. Sure, why not? We Christian ladies don't have to be nuns or saints. You know, God's not calling me to be holy. Give me a break. We Christian women aren't called to be holy, are we? I guess if you want to see the Lord, holiness would be good. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about true beauty in just a moment with Leslie Lutie. Leslie has written a number of books on this, and her latest book is excellent, The Lost Art of True Beauty. This will be excellent for Christian ladies to listen to the program and for those of you moms who are raising Christian ladies to the glory of God. Leslie Lutie is next on Generations. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of Generations with Vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, father of five, in studio with you today. And today we want to talk about raising godly daughters. And what is biblical femininity? And with me to talk about this is Leslie Ludi. Eric and Leslie have been on this program before. Leslie has written a slew of books. I can't even keep count of them anymore. She now has four children. They live in Colorado, just a little bit north of us. Leslie, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. How's Eric doing?
Oh, he's doing great. Just very busy.
Is he still writing too?
Yes, he has quite a few new books that have come out. His most recent is called The Bravehearted Gospel.
I love it. I love to write myself, so I appreciate it when other writers are on the program with me. It's great to get the information out there, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have been bringing this vision for godly femininity for a number of years, and I think this is really, really important. Now, it's interesting, as I was looking at some of your books on Amazon this morning, I thought, man, there's some people that don't necessarily like everything you write.
Yeah, right.
I can relate to that, you know, and it's not like you're not dealing with anything controversial or anything. You know,
exactly.
It is a little controversial. You know, start wading in on 1 Timothy chapter 2 and bringing in a little Titus 2. You know, the Word of God can be a little offensive around the edges.
That's true. And the sad thing is oftentimes, even in the modern Christian church, you know, some of the most basic biblical truths are being challenged. So.
Yes.
That's Eric and I have been fighting that battle for quite some time.
And I noticed that somebody did not like the fact you criticized the quote-unquote Christian supermodel who's out there working for Victoria's Secret. They were not happy about your criticisms.
Right.
You know, and I keep thinking to myself, you know, modest appearance, meek and quiet spirit, prancing out onto the catwalk half-clothed. I'm just not seeing it here for some reason. It's just not coming into focus for me.
Yes, this supermodel claims to be a Christian, but all you have to do is just glance at one of her milder pictures and you know that something's very off base. So, but it is offensive and, you know, to speak that way, I think a lot of modern young women just feel that it's their right to do exactly how culture is leading them to do and live.
Yeah. In other words, they just don't want God to cramp their style.
That's right.
You know,
there's so much pressure out there. You know, the culture is constantly dangling it in front of young women and saying, if you don't look like this, act like this, dress like this, you're not acceptable, you're not attractive and beautiful. So young women feel an extreme amount of pressure to conform to society's standards and constantly are wanting to justify why they're making those choices.
And your point in your books is society standards stink. Basically, you know, and they don't just stink because God says they stink, but they really are cruel, and they really rip apart the self-perceptions, the values, the lives of the people that run down that track.
Right. Well, even the supermodel that you mentioned that I wrote about in my book, I read an interview, a secular interview with this woman, and she claims to know God, but her whole entire lifestyle is completely based around society's standards and society's, you know, methods for living and acting. But she said everything about her beauty, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, is fake. It's all been artificially manufactured. Mm. And then at the end of the interview, she said, even my heart is fake.
Wow.
And she talked about one failed relationship after the next. And getting behind the scenes, it's obvious how empty and futile and heartbreaking her life is. And oftentimes young women are presented with the standard of saying this is what will lead to happiness. In reality, it's what leads to heartache and devastation. Mm. So many Christian girls even will lower their standards, throw themselves at guys, make all sorts of choices and decisions that they think are going to bring them to happiness, and in the end, it's very devastating and heartbreaking how they end up.
And I think the problem here is that the focus is so externalized. Everything is on the outside, and they're not really going to the heart of the matter, and God loves the meek and the quiet spirit that's been carefully honed and trained and worked on and prayed about and dealt with in relationship with God over the years. See, that's what's important to God, but when you ignore that, yeah, okay, the heart doesn't matter. We don't need to be walking with God in these areas. We just need to decorate the barn and make sure it's looking like what the world wants it to look like. Then we got a problem, don't we?
That's right. And even when we do start to focus on the heart. You know, so much of the Christian message to young women is self-esteem and trying to look inward and find something beautiful in and of yourself. And if you read scripture, it's very clear that the only beauty and anything of worth that we can showcase is what Christ places in us of his beauty and his worth and his value. And so to not look to ourselves and say, I just know I can find something good in there if I look hard enough, but to say it's my relationship with Christ that will bring true lasting beauty out of my life.
You talk about self-esteem. You just mentioned it. How does self-esteem turn into self-hatred, self-abuse, and self-destruction? That was a point you made in your book, and I thought that was really good. As these women get all wrapped up in their own self-definition, their self-esteem, and so forth, that almost inevitably turns into self-hatred. So how does self-esteem turn into self-hatred? What's going on here?
It's fairly ironic because from the time young women are, I mean, from the time they're little girls, they're getting the self-esteem message. They're getting one message from the culture, which is you're not good enough and you're not pretty enough. Unless you do all these things, you won't be good enough and a guy will never find you attractive. And then on the other hand, they're getting the self-esteem message from leaders and parents and church leaders and school counselors. You know, you're beautiful just the way that you are. It's so important that you feel good about yourself. And it leads to this very sort of an excuse for young women to grow up completely obsessed and wrapped up in themselves and how they're feeling. And when we go in that direction, it does lead to just a futile, empty, hollow existence, and we end up being very dissatisfied with who we are because, as I said earlier, there's really nothing of value we can find in another self. So if we try to focus there on self-esteem, we realize how, you know, really there is nothing there to exalt and to glorify and to value. And so it can actually lead to greater insecurity and, like you said, self-hatred when we wrap ourselves up in trying to find good in and of ourselves. And talking to young women, I really encourage them not to make that the focus, because if you focus on your relationship with Christ and living a life to glorify him and a life that will bless others around you, and your goal is to decrease, that he would increase in your life, then naturally you will have the confidence that he desires you to have. You won't be all caught up in insecurity because your eyes are not on yourself. They're on him, and the beauty that comes through your life will be his beauty and not your own.
Yes, and of course the problem being that we're trying to turn ourselves into God. If it's all about our self-esteem and we've got to be the big God, and then as the years go by, we don't turn into a very good God and we disappoint ourselves, then we have to raise our standards to try to improve our God-like character. In the end, we ought to just give up the whole God thing and serve and worship the true and living God. And if we do that, I've always said our God esteem is right, our self-esteem will come along.
That's
We've got to esteem
right.
God properly. If we do that, then we will esteem ourselves properly.
Right. And the fruit of esteeming God properly is taking the lowest place, not trying to see how you can exalt yourself and make yourself feel better. It's how can I serve? How can I give? How can I turn outward? And young women really struggle with that in our society, even Christian young women.
You know, you talk about the wounds that some women carry throughout life in your book, The Lost Art of True Beauty. And I think you drew some very, very good instructions from this. What do you do with a woman who's got the wounds? Her father was calling her names, calling her fat. The girls at church referred to her as ugly. She just has been kicked around by society, maybe by herself and some of the things that she's done to herself. But what does a woman do with those wounds?
Well, that's a really important issue to address with young women, because as I've been speaking and working with young women for the past 15 years, I would say it's a very high percentage, 80 to 90% of the young women I deal with, and they're from, lots of them are from strong Christian homes, have been deeply, deeply wounded, have been abused, have been verbally, like you said, kicked around. And so it's a very, very prominent issue among today's young women. And it's important to understand that God cares deeply about those wounds. He doesn't sort of look at that flippantly and say, oh, that's too bad, you know, just get your eyes off yourself and forget about it. He wants to walk us through each of those things and bring healing. But oftentimes the way that we expect or we feel we need healing isn't the way God wants to take us through a time of healing. You know, there are a lot of messages in the Christian culture that really make this whole idea of being very introspective and going through every issue in your past and dwelling on it. And a very popular thing among young women is, I have special emotional needs. I have a special situation. I have a special problem. As opposed to understanding that the power of the cross, the grace of God, everything that God brings to the human soul when he enters that life is more than enough to cover all of those wounds and to give a completely fresh new beginning. And so instead of putting yourself into a special category and saying, I'm special, I'm unique, I've had all these horrible things happening to me, taking that to Christ and saying, you redeem this. Everything that the enemy meant for evil in your life, in my life, I believe you can turn for good. And instead of turning inward to focus on healing, to think about turning outward. There was a really powerful story I heard about a woman who worked with drug addicts and prostitutes in China, and she talked about leading a 50-year-old prostitute to Christ. And this woman had been through every horrible thing you could possibly imagine in all of her 50 years. And this, the missionary said, how are we ever going to get through all this? Because her life is just, it's just one big wound, basically. And this woman just brought her heart to God and said, I want you to make me new. She didn't dwell on her past. But she began to turn outward and serve and look for those who were in need. And she would go to the hospital and find really sick people and brush their hair and wash them and dress them and just care for them. And as she turned outward, it was like healing came to her heart. And God completely restored her past. And she didn't have to go through 10 years of counseling and introspective reasoning. She just simply took it to God and said, make me new. And then she turned outward and she was able to even get married later to a Christian man, and the missionary said, you know, she was just like God restored everything, but it was serving others that brought the healing.
What a beautiful story. What a wonderful story. And if that can happen to some prostitute out in China, folks, that can happen to anybody. And that, of course, is the grace of Christ and the redeeming quality of the gospel of Jesus Christ working there, and it can work everywhere. Leslie, you talk about girls today and where they are and the sort of mannerisms and things that they maintain. And I want to talk about this because I really want to go to how we raise our daughters. You've got two little daughters yourself that you're going to raise, hopefully to be godly, beautiful women of God as the years go by. But I was sitting next to a young lady, couldn't have been more than 19, 20 years of age, in a flight into Ohio over the weekend. And I couldn't help but notice that she was, the best word I can use to describe it was difficult to engage in any conversation at all with her, but she was sort of gauche, unladylike, tactless, lacking in grace. Just the word that came to my mind was, are the young ladies today just this way? Are they becoming more gauche? They think about themselves self-centered. There's really no self-discipline there. General immodesty. What is happening to our young ladies, and how do we prevent this?
Right. Well, in my book, I call it's sort of a lost art of feminine mystique.
Yes.
You know, women just, on our culture, are just not trained how to preserve feminine dignity and mystery and have that grace that God intended us to have. And so, you know, the kind of woman that is exalted in our society is one that is very aggressive toward men and very sensual in the way that she carries herself and the way she dresses, very self-focused. The ideas of being poised and having dignity and having modesty and having an air of mystery where you're not just going to throw yourself at one guy after the next, and you're going to have sort of a ladylike conduct in your daily existence that's sort of deemed old-fashioned and ridiculous and outdated. And so anyone who does carry themselves with a little bit more mystique and grace is kind of made fun of and looked down upon. And so I think a lot of times we play to that lowest common denominator. We think that we'll be more liked and accepted if we just become the way society expects, but just being boisterous and loud and rude. I was sitting in a coffee shop a few months ago, and a, you know, a Christian girl who's an outspoken Christian, and she was sitting there, and very similar to what you described, just almost acting like an obnoxious guy with her attitudes and her actions, just her language and her posture and her clothing, and everything just sort of had this very cavalier attitude as opposed to having one that is guarding that inner person of the heart, as it says in Scripture, very opposite of God's pattern for having a quiet and gentle spirit. And I've heard a lot of Christian girls sort of scorn that idea of having a quiet and gentle spirit and mock the idea of the Proverbs 31 woman, saying that's just a ridiculous standard. No woman can ever, you know, attain it, so let's just throw it all to the wind and let our selfish whims lead us and direct us. But when we come to God to allow Him rather than society to define the way that we carry ourselves as women. And I talked to so many godly men about, godly single men, about what is attractive to them in a woman and what they are waiting for. And it's not the kind of girl who just chases after them and throws herself at them and is just in their face and lets everything that's inside of her just spill out in their first interaction, but somebody who is guarded and has an air of mystery and grace about her. And it actually excites a godly man to say, I have the challenge of winning this woman's heart and proving that I'm worthy of her heart. And that's just not the message that we get from society as young women. So we tend to just throw all of that to the wind and just become selfless and sloppy and cavalier. So the book, Last Art of True Beauty, really goes through all the practical dimensions that we have lost as young women, whether it be manners and social grace and modesty and selflessness, and really restoring those things to our feminine bearing, because that is a way that we can glorify God and showcase His pattern.
And the sad fact of the matter is many of these girls did not have anybody to disciple them in these areas. And I think that's they are lost girls, just like, lost boys wandering around malls in America trying to find themselves. And 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970 per Newsweek magazine. I mean, everything's coming apart at the seams. I think it is because of the lack of discipleship, loving, careful, fatherly, motherly discipleship that ought to be happening in these homes. Not happening. It is not happening. We're three generations away from that happening. And now you've got two sweet little daughters, Leslie. So what are you going to do? And you know what I'm talking about here. They don't come out with all these wonderful feminine graces, all nicely honed. At least we didn't see that.
No. One of my daughters just turned three. The other is 8 months, and they are a lot more like cave people than anything else.
Exactly. Some assembly required, we like to say. Sometimes bossy, sometimes whiny, pouty. They know how to emotionally control. That's one thing they don't have to learn. They know how to emotionally manipulate.
That is exactly right.
And
I write about that in the book, because my 3-year-old Harper, we adopted her from Korea, and she's about the cutest little girl you've ever seen, and she knows that she's cute. She's gotten a lot of people telling her that. And when she wants something, I am just amazed at how she'll try to emotionally manipulate and turn on the tears. They're fake tears, but she can make them look real, and cock her little head and do her little voice and try to wrap people around their finger and just to get what she wants. And, you know, it may be somewhat cute when they're 1 or 2 years old, but at 13, 14, 16, it's very damaging to allow manipulative spirit to continue. So we definitely have our work cut out for us as parents, and society is not going to help us along the way. My parents, I grew up in a very godly home, but they sort of turned me over to the system, not understanding that the system was against everything that they wanted to instill in me. And so even though they did tell me some things about how a lady should conduct herself, when I went out there in culture and I was at school every day, or I was just, even like you said, walking through the mall, I saw something so completely opposite, and I thought, the only way I'm ever going to be loved or appreciated or liked by the opposite sex is if I become, sensual and immodest and aggressive and unladylike. And I tried to keep that within Christian boundaries, because I didn't want to get God mad at me, but I was constantly going as close to the edge of that cliff as I could. So I think first and foremost with our daughters, just to understand that it's not enough to simply instruct them a few times and then turn them over to the world. They need to see it modeled.
Yes.
They need to see examples of parents and other godly men and women around them that are living this way, or that are not just surviving every day, but living that victorious, radiant Christian life, and to see women who are truly showcasing the beauty of Christ rather than just a fleeting type of beauty that they can get from pop culture.
And in the midst of a toxic culture, it's got to happen. It absolutely has to happen. We've got to disciple our little girls and our little boys in these areas. We only have a few minutes left, but I want you to talk to clothing for just a moment. I've always said clothing says something. Your clothing is always saying something. It could be saying, look at me, look at me, look at my immodesty, look at my body parts. What should clothing say? How do your daughters, or how should your daughters dress such that they communicate the right message?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because it's easy to think, to go in the extreme opposite direction, to think the more the more you can wear a tent no feminine attractiveness whatsoever, the better. But to understand that there is a healthy feminine radiance that God intended to showcase, where His light can be seen through us, and there is beauty in being feminine. but to teach our daughters to showcase feminine beauty, but to draw the attention to Jesus Christ. So the light in your eyes, the radiance in your smile, and not to wear anything that would send the message that I want eyes to be on me. And I talk to a lot of girls who get mad that guys stumble in lust and treat them like sex objects, but then they're dressed in something very tight, very form-fitting, see-through, whatever it might be. Women are not helping the problem. Oftentimes they're complaining about it, but not helping. And so I believe that there's a way to dress with grace and dignity and beauty that is not sensual in any way. It is a feminine poise and a feminine mystery, and it's a godly beauty. And it does have color and life and beauty to it, and it is feminine, but it's not sensual.
Well said. Beautiful, beautiful. I would add joy and a notion of the resurrection. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And boy, you know, you get a joyful person out there, and they're communicating joy by the way they dress and by their bearing. Boy, that is a huge contrast with the depressed, post-modern, nihilistic, just go commit suicide kind of a world that really kind of sets the fashion of the day.
Just to smile and be, I mean, it's obvious when your focus is not on yourself, because you smile at others, you notice others, and that's what makes a woman beautiful. Our three-year-old daughter was born with deformity. She has no fingers, and her feet are deformed. And so to instill in her that as she smiles and radiates and turns outward and doesn't draw attention to herself and her insecurity, people are not going to be looking at her deformities. They're going to be looking at the light of Christ shining through her.
It's not about me. It's about others. And most importantly, it's about my Savior, Jesus Christ, and the God that I serve. Boy, wonderful, wonderful words from Leslie Ludy today, folks. The book, The Lost Art of True Beauty, The Set-Apart Girl's Guide to Feminine Grace, a beautiful, beautiful book for your daughter or for yourself, ladies, those of you who are listening to the program today. Leslie Ludy and The Lost Art of True Beauty. Thank you, Leslie, for joining us again on Generations. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast as we share a vision for raising the next generations. Folks, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.